Good, good morning and welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and sweet Calvin Hutenhoff coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join the show if you want to call and or text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream. If you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter, lots coming up on the show today, Greg Bach. We will have Brewers tickets coming up for you at 11:20. It's for tonight's game.
Correct.
Tonight's game, 7:10.
Against?
The Mariners.
Yeah!
All right.
Where?
At a stadium.
There you go. You did it.
We're going to talk to you. There was an almost bad collision between one of the racing sausages and one of the Brewers players yesterday.
Again?
Yeah.
That just happened at opening day.
Maybe that was old footage that just popped up. It was like, wow. That could have been bad.
They almost knocked over a twin.
Oh. No, this was a Brewer. When the sausages get in the zone, man, they're just, you know, they're gunning for it.
This happens every game. You know when it's happening.
They should by now. Dan Schaefer is going to be here at 10:33 so we can recombobulate next hour. At 11:33 on Milwaukee.com's Matt Miller is going to be here to talk about the incredible Milwaukee Film Festival, which has grown. I can remember when it first started.
Oh, yeah.
And what it has grown into and the recognition that it's gotten is pretty amazing. So stick around for that. Some breaking news as we get going this morning, Greg. A magnitude 4.8 earthquake hits in New Jersey and a large portion of the East Coast.
Yeah.
Felt the tremors this morning. All of a sudden, all over my Twitter feed was, did you feel that? I felt that. Did you feel that? It's really strange.
Have you ever been in an earthquake?
About 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Working in Hales Corners. And this must have been 89, maybe early 90s. And it's, you know, it's 4 o'clock in the morning, so nobody's in the building except those of us who are going to be on the morning show. And I felt this weird shake, and I thought one of the guys was behind me shaking my chair because I'd never experienced that before. It was really odd. And it turned out it was a very minuscule earthquake, but it's disconcerting if you're not used to it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I was in Los Angeles once sleeping over at my sister-in-law's house. And I woke up to rumbling. And it
really?
Was, and of course, they were like, it's like a 3, whatever. Oh,
that's a nothing.
Nothing. I'm like, no, that's the earth. Like, Carol King was right. The earth is moving under my feet. And it's not good.
Yeah, and I don't like it.
I don't like it. Why do we live here?
And they say that there could be some aftershocks now, too,
in
that area. So, again, a 4.8 earthquake reported this morning in the greater New York area. It was located in New Jersey. You can rest easy, though. The Empire State Building is fine.
How do you know?
Because I follow them on Twitter.
Oh.
I follow a couple other really odd accounts, like Lake Superior.
Oh, yeah.
Lake Superior is wonderful.
You brought me to Lake Superior, and there was the other one.
San Andreas Fault.
Yes.
Mount St. Helens also has an account, and they get very snippy with one another. It's hilarious. But the Empire State Building posted this morning that I am fine. So. I know, we can rest
assured. But what's the Chrysler Building up to?
I'll have to check. Exactly. I don't follow the Chrysler Building. I'll have to do that. All right, we're going to start off talking about California guy.
Is that the guy who's running for Wisconsin senator?
It is.
The Senate? Yeah.
That would be him, Eric Hovde.
Hovde.
Eric Hovde, yesterday, in an interview, said women early on in a pregnancy should have the right to make a choice.
I know, I heard it. It was amazing.
Do we have that clip?
We do have the clip.
Calvin, let's hear that clip.
In 2012, Eric Hovde said he was totally opposed to abortion. Today?
I believe in exceptions. I believe in the beauty of life. I think women early on in a pregnancy should have a right to make a choice. But I think there is a point where once a baby can be born healthy and alive, that's unconscionable that baby could be terminated.
So where would you draw that line? Would you go to 14?
I'm not gonna pick that time. I think it's put back to the voters of Wisconsin.
He's calling for a referendum on the topic.
Okay, first and foremost, that's completely disingenuous.
Yeah.
It is. And he was against everything when he ran in 2012. No exceptions for the life of the mother. No exceptions for rape or incest or the life of the mother. Now that's a complete flip-flop. Now he supports exceptions for rape, incest, and the life of the mother, and thinks voters should decide the laws to govern that issue. Hovde said he has never changed his position on exceptions.
What?
You know, we can go back. It's called tape.
Like, literally from like a day ago.
It's amazing.
The question that begs for me is, how are his major endorsers, specifically pro-life advocacy groups, how are they going to approach that? Because, you know, 12 years ago, he was on their side. And their side, don't be misconstrued, their side is 100% ban.
Yes.
Nothing allowed. No contraception, too. That's going to be going, too, if they have their way. So the fact that he says, in the early stages, I mean, someone at some right to life group has to be saying, what did you just say?
Well, maybe they're making kind of a pact, because to get him in.
He's already in. I mean,
to get him elected.
Oh, so he's going to lie.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, why not? Good heavens, the three Supreme Court justices, Gorsuch and Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett, all lied.
Yeah.
In their confirmation hearings, they said Roe was precedent, established legal precedent, and they wouldn't touch it. And then what did? They overturned it. So maybe they have a deal. It's like, okay, you can say that you're for, you know, these exceptions. And then when you get in office, you'll just reverse it.
Yeah. I had to change a heart.
Right.
God spoke to me.
Right. At the time in 2012, Hovde again said he was totally opposed to abortion. In an interview or a questionnaire from the Wisconsin State Journal, he said, quote, I am pro-life and I oppose legalized abortion. I believe contraception should be legal, unquote. You're not wrong either about birth control being the next thing that they're going to come for.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, and I've been seeing some influencers pushing this message to women specifically about the dangers of contraception.
What?
Yes. You know, one of our favorite douche bros, Charlie Kirk.
Oh, big gums.
Yeah. Said that contraception screws with women's brains, and that's why they vote for Democrats.
No, Charlie Kirk screws with women's brains. That's the absolute truth.
I think that's so funny. I got news for you, Charlie. I was a Democrat long before I ever started taking birth control.
And, you know, if I'm not mistaken, we have a weekly... We have a weekly program on here, a weekly segment called Public Service, Cervix Announcement.
Yes, we do.
Very, very well-trained OBGYN, Dr. Kristen Lierley, who is now running for Congress, as we know.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been doing this show for a while with you.
Yeah.
I don't remember a single time where she said, as a doctor, quote, contraception screws with women's brains.
I mean,
did I miss that episode?
No, you did not.
Okay.
Because we haven't. She has not said that.
Phew!
I mean, certainly she said not all birth control is right for every person.
Exactly.
You know, it's a very individualistic thing. And, you know, there might be side effects for some. Not everything works the same for everyone. But no, I don't believe that it screws with women's brains.
I forgot where did Charlie Kirk go to medical school, too.
It's, I don't think he did.
He didn't?
I know.
That's weird.
I know.
You know what I don't do as a non-doctor? Give medical advice.
I think that's a good rule to live by, Greg Bach.
Thank you.
I think that's wise.
I'm proud of me.
Yeah, you should be. The issues of abortion, contraception, and fertility, this is from today's Journal Sentinel, have been at the forefront of races in Wisconsin and throughout the country since that ruling by the Supreme Court in 2022. Hovde yesterday also reiterated his support for access to IVF and fertility treatments, which he initially confirmed after the Alabama decision. Speaking of Alabama, a hospital now in Alabama has now said it is closing all of its IVF treatment services.
You did it, Alabama. Good job.
Yep. Hovde says, fertility treatments, obviously I want anybody that wants to have a child to have a child, of course. Birth control, if a woman wants access to birth control, get access to birth control. I have no problem with that. Well, thank you, Eric. I'm really glad you don't have a problem with that.
Ladies, Eric's fine with it. We're good. I mean, it's, well, you know what? Honestly, this kind of goes with who he's been since he has announced nothing. He doesn't really take hard stances on anything. He's not giving his positions. That's at least causing ripples anywhere. The only difference between him and Tammy Baldwin is that he's a Republican, she's Democrat, he's a man, she's a, like there's no discerning qualities he's showing that makes me go, Eric Hovde's the guy. He's just sort of milquetoast.
Well, again, he hasn't put forward any policy proposals.
Yeah.
I don't know what his platform is, except I'm not Tammy Baldwin.
He's pro axe throwing.
He's pro axe throwing and pro sitting in icy lakes,
yep.
Which we all know.
Yep. Pro mustache.
Yes. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Yesterday, Eric Hovde said he's always been cool with exceptions to abortion and contraception, and that's all good. So, you know, ladies, just calm down.
Yeah, you're
we're so emotional. I know, we're so emotional.
Oh, my gosh. We got a text from Lynn in Oconomowoc. Hi, Lynn. Hope you're doing well. Listen, 414 on WAUK. Jane, Greg, please, please, please tell me why Charlie Kirk's voice is so weird. Never went through puberty, ? And why does he talk so fast? Coke? Lynn, some very spicy questions morning.
One wonders, Lynn. We don't
you know.
You know
what? Actually,
I think his voice sounds like that because his brain is scrambled.
What's funny is that he and Ben Shapiro are kind of the same way. They both have these unique voices. I'll call them unique. That's diplomatic.
That's very diplomatic.
And they both tend to speak very, very quickly.
Really quickly.
Because they don't want you to, they don't want to give you a chance to get a word in edgewise. They want to spout off every single, I mean, they have great facts that they believe in. I use facts with air quotes. And they speak fast. They speak with confidence. So they just shut you down. But yeah, they're both kind of alike in that sense where their voices are very kind of like,
yeah.
And they just don't shut up.
Stay with us if you want to join the conversation, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter, and stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Cal B, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Nice sunny day. You can join us anytime, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon is ruining. We were talking about California guy Eric Hovde yesterday in an interview. All of a sudden, in a kind of a switch from 2012 when he ran last time, when he said he was against all abortion, there should be no exceptions. Now he says, no, wait. We'll have some exceptions.
Well, he does say early on.
Early on.
And then the reporter says, well, do you support 14? Because he's not going to take a position right there. Then he shoves it onto us to decide. But early on, he could be saying, like, well, I think within the first 2 weeks.
Right.
8 days.
Yeah.
What do the billboards say? 14 days after? That 14 days. You know what I mean? Like, he's never going to make a
perfect. He's not going to clarify.
No.
Because then he can be pinned down on it.
And the way he says, if you watch the video, he puts his hand to his chest. He goes, I'm not going to decide that. The people should. No.
Well, and let's go back to the whole argument was turn it back over to the states and let the states decide, and yet we know that Donald Trump is looking at a nationwide abortion ban.
Yeah.
And that is what, like, groups like Wisconsin Right to Life, that would be Christmas for them.
They'd close their offices for a month. They'd be like, we've earned this
mission
one.
Accomplished.
Yeah.
Tom from L.A. is on the line. Good morning, Tom. Thank you so much for listening and joining us. What's up?
Good morning. Good morning. First off, we the people. Ultimately, are the government, and we must never forget that. We also need to stop calling this right to life, because it's not. It's either pro a woman's right to choose or pro a big government's right to choose. And I think Eric Hudby actually said that. I will allow this. I won't allow this. Sounds to me like government's right to choose has nothing to do with saving life. And most women that actually choose, or most women that have the right to choose, don't necessarily choose to actually terminate a pregnancy. So this is about making women into second-class citizens. It's about making them into cattle. And, you know, that's the bottom line. Second, people need to really, really start calling the media out and looking at media malpractice as making the election between Donald Trump and Joe Biden as normal. These are not two normal candidates. This is not a both sides-ism. Donald Trump, what he wants to do in tearing down all the guardrails and become the dictator in chief. I mean, he said that right there, dictator just for one day. But yeah, right, after you break down every single thing, every justice system, every form of government that we have, then we're going to be, oh, then we're okay? No, this is between democracy and between authoritarianism.
I agree with you, Tom. Thank you so much for calling. We can't speak for other media outlets, mm-hmm. obviously, so I don't know what kind of directives they get as far as how to cover Donald Trump and President Biden, but they're not the same.
No.
We're not comparing apples to apples.
No. No, and I like the media back in 2015, 2016 treated Donald Trump like, not with kid gloves, but with like, oh, okay. Let him have his, let
Don be Don.
Let the TV star get his moment. He'll be out in the first round of primaries and it'll be Ted Cruz or whomever, blah, blah, blah. And because of that, they helped build this monster and they've never really taken responsibility for it. And now what they're trying to do is they're trying to talk about it in a way that they still do not treat it as the danger that it is. You have pundits who say it, but they're pundits. I don't care what station you're, they're all paid to say one thing or the other. It's, we are looking at what, I hate saying this, but it is maybe it's the most important election of my life.
By far.
And we cannot treat it as like, oh, it's the worst of two evils or the same side of two sides of the same coin. No.
Not by a long shot.
They're both old. We get it. Nothing you can do about that. But there is no comparison between the two. And I understand if things like Israel and Palestine are a sticking point for you, if it's something you really feel passionate about, I get it. But as you've said and many other people have said, if Donald Trump gets into office, he levels Gaza. He destroys that region. And the people that you care about so much are in as much danger as humanly possible. So make no mistake, this is not the same. These are not the same people.
No. And as Liz Cheney, and again, people who are MAGA no longer care for Liz Cheney, but there are a lot of Republicans who still have a lot of respect for her. Liz Cheney has said over and over and over that we can, from her perspective, we can survive bad policies. We can't survive someone who's willing to shred the Constitution.
Yeah.
And Donald Trump has said that out loud.
Yeah.
And I think just in general, folks need to stop making excuses is the wrong word. He says what he means. And if he says he's going to do it, he's probably going to do it. He doesn't mm-hmm. joke. He has no sense of humor.
No.
So nothing is ever a joke because he doesn't joke.
The only thing he doesn't do are things he cannot do. Like building a wall. And I mean that. But those things are so complex. A new healthcare system. No, he's not going to get them done. He does not have the capacity to read more than a page of information.
If that.
And they need to mention his name when they do so he keeps his interest. He has someone who comes in, a chief of staff, who has a brain in their head and the will to do whatever they want to do and get it done, he's going to sign everything with that big, stupid Sharpie. And there, and the day will come when you are not American enough. Right now, we're sitting here. What we're doing can be seen as treason in a year.
Absolutely. He's already said he wants to go after media outlets.
And you can call us and say we're wrong and we're libs and we're you know, bought off by George Soros, which are not. I have not seen a check.
I'm still waiting for my check.
But, and you can think you're on his side, but you will do something or say something or think something that will make you not good enough.
Well, and look at what he... Look at what he's already doing to his business partners with True Social. Mm. They're both suing each other. He is suing two of the founders, and they are suing him. We're going to talk more about that and Truth Social at 11 o'clock. And the number of his own former administration officials who are not supporting him, which I think is important for people to remember. Yeah. News is coming up next, and then we're going to recombobulate with Dan Schaefer, so stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. We're coming to you on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're jamming this groove. We hope it's contagious. We want you to move. Let's all get outrageous. We're jamming this groove. We hope it's contagious. We want you to move. So let's get outrageous. And welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Join the conversation. Join the conversation, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He joins us every Friday at this time so we can recombobulate. It's Dan Go Kick Rocks Schaefer. How are you this morning, Dan?
Good morning, Jane. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
For people who may not realize the whole kicking rock reference was brought to you by, I should say, that bastion of adult behavior, that shining example of what it means to be a political official, our very own Wisconsin's Derek Van Orden told Dan Schaefer to kick rocks.
Yeah, that's right. You don't. Not every day you get a sitting congressman who jumps on Twitter and tells you to kick rocks. Yeah, I was posting my opinion column on Monday about the referendum questions that many of us across the state were voting on Tuesday, and I don't know. He made a strange tweet. He seemed to think I wrote for the journal or for a newspaper or something like that. Said something about, you know, the rag that I write for is going under.
I think your rag is doing your rag is doing actually pretty well.
Rag is doing pretty well. And Derek Van Orden helped out a lot with that this week because I decided to turn his comments telling me to kick rocks into a sale at the recombobulation area, a sale that is still active. Matt Nair on Air listeners. So you can go to therecombobulationarea.news/kickrocks and get 30% off a subscription to the recombobulation area. And since we launched that sale, I think we had the best day for new paid subscribers that we've had this year so far at the recombobulation area. So I would just like to extend a heartfelt thank you to the congressman from Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District for helping us have such a great week. Thank you, Mr. Van Orden.
Well done, Derek. You actually got something done. It's a bravo.
I feel bad you didn't take advantage of when Scott Walker called you stupid.
You know, now every time I you know, get some feedback from some of these folks on Twitter, you know, I think I'm going to have to turn it into a sale.
So I agree. I agree.
We got a small business here. I got, you know, I got stuff to attend to. So, yeah.
Make a bingo card with all their faces on it.
I like
Scott
that idea.
Walker, Van Orden. And the free space is just, you know, Donald Trump going.
All right. Let's talk about your award winning brag, the recombobulation area. And this latest one, you kind of have five big takeaways from the election. So what do you want to start with then?
Yeah, sure. So I think the, you know, locally here in Milwaukee, I think the biggest race on the ballot turned out to be the MPS referendum. And I think the, you know, partially the reason that emerged as such a big deal was the fact that we didn't have a lot of other super competitive races in and around Milwaukee for the spring election. You know, County Executive David Crowley, Mayor Cavalier Johnson, both cruised to re-election. We didn't have, you know, a statewide race like last year with the state Supreme Court race and things like that. So I think this, you know, there were so many school referenda around the state because, you know, I think we can pretty safely say that because the state is not adequately funding public education, it means that, you know, every couple of years we have, I think this year it was more than 90 schools go to a referendum, you know, some in different forms and others. But the Milwaukee Public School District, being the biggest in the state, is going to draw the most attention. And it certainly drew a lot of attention from the Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce, the MMAC, who spent hundreds of thousands of dollars opposing this referendum, an effort led by its new president, former Republican state legislator Dale Coyenga.
Yep.
And this effort failed. And it ended up being very close, but I think it did. But it did eventually fail. The MPS referendum did pass. The school will get an increase in $252 million in funding. Property taxes will go up in the city of Milwaukee because of it. But I think this is an interesting moment for the MMAC and for the Milwaukee region because they spent so much trying to stop this referendum. It dominated the news here and the political news cycle here around Milwaukee, and it failed. And I think this Republican group with a new Republican leader, you know, it's an interesting moment for them. They spent a lot of time and effort, backing the highway widening project in the city of Milwaukee. They backed the Brewers Stadium deal, but they, you know, that funding for those massive gargantuan projects is okay, but funding for the public school system in Milwaukee, not as okay. So it just seems like they need to really look in the mirror to re-examine what their priorities are for the region. And I think, you know, Tim Sheehy was the leader of the MMAC for a really long time. He retired last year. You know, we've had a sea change in new leadership in Milwaukee with Cavalier Johnson, David Crowley, now with Evan Goyke as the city attorney. You know, so many things turning over to new leadership and taking different directions. And I think that's a really good thing. But MMAC new leadership seems to be doing the same old stuff. And I think they need to take a good long look in the mirror and examine if what they're doing is really what's best for the future of Milwaukee.
Well, and what's interesting, I think, too, Dan, even with all that money that they spent, because the Journal Sentinel has an article this morning, turnout in Milwaukee was not good. It was like 36%. So even for all that money that they spent, that was not enough to get motivate people to get out and vote against it.
Yeah, these spring election turnouts can often be really low, you know, and I think going into the year, people thought this might be on the high side for turnout if there is a competitive presidential primary, especially among Republicans. Like, is this the time to really, you know, motivate the voters? I know that's what Republicans did in getting those statewide referendum questions on the ballot for this exact time. And we can talk about those results too, but I think, you know, just the overall turnout in these spring elections when there's not a big race at the top of the ticket can be difficult. And I think, yeah, we saw that in the results on Tuesday as well.
One of the other takeaways from your column on the recombobulation area about those referendums, those two referenda, mm-hmm. and you said you weren't surprised that they passed.
No, you know, I had a lot to say about those referendum questions in the weeks before, but I was not particularly surprised that they passed. You know, since and doing some research, Wisconsin Watch had a really good piece about this, showing that since 2000, there have been 10 amendments that have been on referendum questions to voters. 9 have passed. So it seems like the lift really for a lot of these is getting them on the ballot because they can write them in a way that makes it look like they're obvious to pass. And so that, you know, that seems like largely what has happened here as well. But I think the results were probably a lot closer than what many were expecting. And I think, you know, a similar vote went on the ballot in Louisiana and that passed with like 70% of the vote. In Wisconsin, the question one, you know, only passed with a little over 54%. So I do want, you know, and this is with Republicans shouting about Zuckerbucks, yep, shouting about election integrity for 3+ years. And I think the effort opposing this really didn't materialize until the 11th hour before this referendum was going to be on the ballot. So the fact that they got over 45% for question one, over 40% for question two, opposing this is probably overperformed some of the expectations for this. But yeah, I think that all along it seemed most likely that these confusing referendum questions would pass.
And what do you think the ramifications for the passage of these is going to be?
Well, I'm sure now that Republicans got these passed, they're done with all of their election denier stuff, right? This is it.
Right.
Pack it up, boys. Get on out.
And now that they're going to stop questioning all the election results. And, you know, of course, we saw that on Tuesday night. There was no accusations of fraud from any of the usual suspects on the right in Wisconsin, right? We passed this and now we have election integrity and we're not going to question Milwaukee specifically and we're not going to question any results again, right? Is that how this works?
I think tragically we are not good. There was screeching on Tuesday night with what 150 ballots that got turned in about 7:15, which is perfectly legal and perfectly within the parameters. And we have now, there are some folks who are just so trained now that they're setting it up so they can, whatever happens in November of this year, they're setting it up so they can go back and do the same screaming that it was rigged and we were cheated.
If you read, go on, Dan.
I wrote about this too. And it in my piece, breaking this down, and it's so frustrating when these same accusations happen after every election. It's just happens because Milwaukee has central count and it takes longer to count votes from a large city.
Yes.
Like, this is not hard, but it's the same accusations of Milwaukee over and over and over again. And frankly, I wish the business community in Milwaukee would pay a little bit more attention to standing up for the voices of the people of the city who are casting these ballots. Your vote is your voice. And if you're silencing those votes and you're questioning the legitimacy of those votes, you're questioning the legitimacy of the people making their voices heard, the people from Milwaukee making their voices heard. It's so frustrating to have to deal with this over and over and over. And you know what? We also had an example of some actual problems in reporting the results in Racine County. Racine County didn't report their results from the spring election until Wednesday afternoon at about 5. You didn't hear the same voices ripping them over and over again. It's always just Milwaukee. It's just an excuse to bash Milwaukee. It's so frustrating. And shame on all of the people who continue to refuse to stand up for the people in Milwaukee, stand up for these voices over and over again. We're left dealing with these ridiculous accusations and no one does anything about it. It's so frustrating.
And if nothing else, Dan, I wish Milwaukee business leaders would speak up for our election workers and our poll workers. For pity's sake, these people are getting threats for doing their jobs. It's ridiculous.
These are old age pensioners. They're like 70 some years old. They're not looking here to steal an election.
They're doing their civic duty. You know, it's just that infuriates me too. Bill from Oconomowoc, thank you for your patience, Bill. What did you want to say?
election or that the way they handle when they lose an election and then they question the integrity of the election. I think the best way to deal with them is just turn it to flat out humor. Oh, we agree. We better have a recount. We think the thermostats in all over Wisconsin were having an effect on the vote. Or we think that women's hair curlers or hair dryers are emitting a bad signal. You just, they haven't said, they want insanity, we'll give them insanity. And we'll do it with insanity through comedy. And then we'll ask them, you know, is it the thermostats? Is it Jewish space lasers? What, you know, come on, we got to know. Inquiring minds need to know. They will get so sick of it. They won't do it. You know, one of the best political throwbacks or comments are SNL. It is. It's just a comment on the insanity of a side of politics that has no basis for reality.
Thank you so very much, Bill. Great points, as always, and always appreciate you calling in and listening. And he gave me some great ideas. I can think of a new commercial coming out from the We Got Nothing Else Super PAC talking about all these potential. I like the hair dryers emitting a signal. I hadn't even thought about that.
I just always like to blame Hunter Biden's laptop. It's just sitting in a room somewhere on a stool.
I don't know. But Bill's right. There's lots of potential there. There is a lot of potential there. All right. We're going to keep recombobulating. Stay close. Dan Schaefer is here. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Wheels up and we'll be rocking. Getting out of frozen Wisconsin. Populate me. I want you to recombobulate me. I need you to recombobulate me. Won't somebody
recombobulate? Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon is ruining. Dan Schaefer joins us every Friday at this time so we can recombobulate. Just want to remind people, if you want to catch the Toronto Raptors-Bucks game tonight at 6:30, you can listen locally on locally grown radio, WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids, and in Amory on WLAK Lake Air.
Amory. And those Bucks. Dan, did you see the graphic between Adrian Griffin and Doc Rivers, their records right now?
Yeah, it's not great. But you know what? I'm still happy with the coaching change because Adrian Griffin was a disaster. And he got to coach in a really easy part of the schedule. I don't know. The Bucks are weird. They're just, you know, I keep clinging to talking myself into the Bucks having a great postseason, because last year they had a great regular season and a terrible postseason. And this year they've had a very uneven and unenjoyable regular season. So I'm pinning my hopes on that leading to a better postseason.
Yeah. We had J.R. Radcliffe on yesterday and he basically said that, I don't know if this is, I don't feel like this is the same with baseball, but with basketball, he's like, yeah, they don't really like, as long as they keep that second seed, they don't really care.
Because it's a whole new season. It's a whole new season when you're in the postseason.
Which is mind blowing. Can I get a job where I can just fail or not do well the first part and be like, don't worry about that.
Second half of the year, I'm going to bring my A game, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You mean that's not what you're doing, Greg?
Shut up.
You're saving your A game for after July or something like that?
Yeah, I'm saving it for the primary season of voting. You know, you're just, oh, baby, you're going to see hot takes.
All right, just let me know when that A game's finally coming, Greg.
We'll give you a heads up.
Dan's just mean.
We're recombobulating it with Dan Schaefer as we do every Friday.
I love you, Greg. I'm sorry. I'm giving you a hard time.
Takeaways from your recent column about the recent election, the primary election. What else stuck out to you, Dan?
Yeah, I think, you know, the top of the ticket was interesting too. And I think the race for the both sides for the presidential primary, you know, had some internal protest votes, right? And I think on the Democratic side, we saw you know, a number of votes go uninstructed in that primary. So I think it's interesting because we saw a little bit of momentum for this. You know, it, in other states, it was referred to as uncommitted. In Wisconsin, uninstructed for people casting their ballots. Essentially just kind of, you know, a peaceful way to send a message to President Biden that maybe you don't agree with his policies towards the war in Gaza. So, you know, a big push to get to 20,000 votes, which was the margin in the 2020 election. Uninstructed got to 48,000 votes in the primary. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how the president might respond to this, how, you know, he speaks to some of these voters who don't agree with his policies on Gaza. But at the same time, I think, you know, I think it maybe was a little bit lower than I had expected, at least in terms of the percentage. In Michigan, the uncommitted vote got to 13%. In Minnesota, it got to 19%. So I thought, you know, maybe Wisconsin continues this trend, but it was only at a little over 8% for the uninstructed vote. Ended up being higher in, you know, in Dane County, in, you know, some wards around the UW-Madison campus. Also, it was double digits in four counties, Dane, Milwaukee, Vernon, and Ashland counties. But I think overall it was a little bit lower. And I do think it was interesting, too, that on the Republican side, there were more, you know, internal opposition votes against Trump than there were against Biden. Nikki Haley got more than 76,000 votes.
Yes.
She got more than close to 13%. Trump got less than 80% of the vote. You know, the uninstructed vote on the Republican side got almost 13,000 votes, which is pretty interesting. So I think, you know, Haley did her best. And again, she's not running. So I think these are just votes from people saying that they would prefer a candidate who is not Donald Trump. But Haley did the best in Dane, Milwaukee, Ozaukee, and La Crosse counties. I think that's another sign that voters who have higher levels of education, you know, we see these around a lot of, you know, college towns and things like that, continue to go away from Trump. That has been a real dividing factor in the Trump era, with people with college degrees who are not necessarily voting for Trump. So I think it's really interesting that there were, you know, more than 100,000 people voted in the Republican primary and did not cast a ballot for the only candidate running. So I think that's pretty significant.
Well, what's interesting too now is, because I'm hearing this from Steve Bannon and other MAGA folks, that we don't need women. We don't care. That's all right. We don't need you. We have plenty of... Steve Bannon said this yesterday. We got men. We have millions of men. We don't need women. Okay, guys. Good luck with that. Keep that up.
Yeah, that's not a winning strategy. That's, yeah, it's the things that they get away with saying on conservative media. I'm glad someone's listening to them to point out the absurdity of this. But yeah, I think, you know, Trump is going to have a real difficulty consolidating the party going into this. I mean, it's clear that, you know, you have about 20% of the party who is just not interested in Donald Trump at all.
They're just not into you, Donald. They're just not into you, man.
I think it's been smart of the Biden campaign to say that, you know, there's a home for you here, Nikki Haley voters. And I think that Trump has done the opposite. And like you said with Bannon, yeah, we don't need you. We've got other people to vote for us. And I think that's going to be a real problem. And I think, you know, as much as there was a big effort to get people to vote uninstructed on the Democratic primary to try to move Biden on Gaza, there's more voters voting against Donald Trump in the Republican Party than there were people voting against Biden in the Democratic Party. So I think that is pretty significant.
Dan Schaefer writes, the recombobulation area. You should subscribe right now. Take advantage of the Kick Rocks discount.
That's right. Recombobulation area / Kick Rocks.
Dan Schaefer, thank you so very much. We will see you next Friday. Have a good weekend.
Thank you so much. Be well.
You too. Stay close. News is coming up next. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.